Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 44. Prayena,
Prayena.
Deva,
Deva.
Munaya,
Munaya.
Sva,
Sva.
Vimukti,
Vimukti.
Kama,
Kama.
Maunam,
Maunam.
Charanti,
Charanti.
Vijane,
Vijane.
Na,
Na.
Para-artha-nishta,
Para-artha-nishta.
Na,
Na.
Etan,
Etan.
Vihaya,
Vihaya.
Kripana,
Kripana.
Vimumukshe,
Vimumukshe.
Eka,
Eka.
Na,
Na.
Anyam,
Anyam.
Tvat,
Tvat.
Asya,
Asya.
Sharanam,
Sharanam.
Brahmata,
Brahmata.
Anupashye,
Anupashye.
Prayena deva munaya swavimukti kama.
Prayena deva munaya swavimukti kama.
Maunam charanti vijane na parartha nishta.
Maunam charanti vijane na parartha nishta.
Naitan vihaya kripanan vimumuksha eko.
Naitan vihaya kripanan vimumuksha eko.
Nanyam tvadasya sharanam. Pramato nupashye.
Nanyam pradasya sharanam. Pramato nupashye.
Prayena.
Prayena.
Generally.
Generally.
In almost all cases.
In almost all cases.
Deva.
Deva.
O my Lord.
O my Lord.
Munaya,
Munaya,
great saintly persons,
great saintly persons.
Sva,
Sva,
personal,
personal.
Own,
own.
Vimuktikama,
Vimuktikama,
ambitious for liberation,
ambitious for liberation.
From this material world,
from this material world.
Maunam,
Maunam,
silently,
silently.
Charanti,
Charanti,
they wander,
they wander.
In places like the Himalayan forests,
in places like Himalayan forests,
where they have no touch,
where they have no touch.
With the activities of the materialists,
with the activities of the materialists.
Vijane,
Vijane,
in solitary places,
in solitary places.
Na,
Na,
not.
Para-artha-nishta,
Para-artha-nishta, interested in working for others,
interested in working for others.
By giving them the benefit of the Krishna consciousness movement.
By giving them the benefit of the Krishna consciousness movement.
by enlightening them with Krishna consciousness. Na, not. Etan, these. Vihaya, leaving aside. Kripanan, fools and rascals. Engaged in materialistic activity. Who do not know the benefit of the human form of life. Vimumukshe, I desire to be liberated and to return home back to Godhead. Eka, alone.
Na,
not. Anyam, other. Tuat,
but for you.
Asya,
of this.
Sharanam, shelter. Brahmata,
of the living entity.
Rotating and wandering.
Throughout the material universes.
Anupashye,
do I see.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Lord Nisringadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forests to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Please repeat. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed. But they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest. To meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone. Leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet,
one cannot be happy.
Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Purport. This is the decision of the Vaishnav, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself he has no problems, even if he has to stay in this material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can go even to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Naivo dvijay paradaratyaya vaitaranya. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17:28. Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu api tulyartha darshinaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. So in the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj explained that for himself he had no difficulty, because wherever he was he could merge himself in the nectarian ocean of chanting or distributing the Lord's glories. Magnachitta. So here Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the same point, that a devotee doesn't mind whether he's liberated or in heaven or in hell, because wherever he is, he can be happy by engaging in devotional service, by absorbing himself in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. And in the previous verse, Prahlad said that although he has no anxiety or lamentation for himself, he does have one concern, and that is for the materialistic people, Vimukha Chetasa, who have turned away from Krishna, that they are unhappy. That was his only concern. And as Srila Prabhupada says, Prahlad was both happy and unhappy. Personally, he was happy because he was absorbed in Krishna consciousness in the nectarian ocean of the Lord's holy name, form, qualities, pastimes, and so on. But he was unhappy for the materialistic people who are unhappy. he was sorry because of their sorrow. And naturally, if you're unhappy, you want to be happy. And if you're unhappy because other people are unhappy, then you want to make them happy, because then you'll be happy. Or you'll not be, whatever. So in this verse, Prahlad explains what his mood is in relation to that unhappiness he feels perceiving the unhappiness of others. We'll continue reading the purport. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and gyanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment. And gyanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. So this phrase, Prayena Deva Munaya Svavi Mukti Kama, that almost all of the great saintly persons that you find in India are interested in their own liberation. Monam charanti vijane saparasanishta. They wander silently in the Himalayas or forests, not acting for the welfare of others. And as devotees have gone to India, they've seen the truth of Prahlad's statement. When I first arrived in Bombay with a group of devotees in 1970, there was a gathering of sadhus. This was my introduction to India. There was a gathering of sadhus in a large hall in Bombay, actually along Marine Drive. And there were huge lines of tables set up next to each other. And sitting cross-legged on the tables were various yogis and munis in different types of attire or lack of attire, with different types of tilak and markings and matted hair, long hair, all different varieties. And I was quite impressed. And having been a spiritual seeker and having read autobiography of a yogi, I was very intrigued by tales of saintly persons in India. Srila Prabhupada, it became clear to me when Srila Prabhupada arrived that he stood out from all of them. He was in a completely different category. Not to pass any judgment, but he was like the sun, like as effulgent as the sun. And in comparison, yes, they were like little stars. And his mood, as opposed to the mood of the others, was that he did not want to go back home, back to Godhead alone, leaving aside all of the poor fools and rascals, Kripana. But anyway, that refers to people in general, us, in other words. And if that were not his mood, where would we be? We shudder to think of where we would be if that had not been his mood. That, of course, was the mood of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and his father and Shiksha Guru, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted his disciples to go to the West and preach. And he even sent some of them to London at great expense to the Gaudiya Mutt. And they met some people, they had some talks, but they could not have much effect. Somehow they could not have much effect. And eventually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur called them back. And after they returned, you know, there was a reception for them, very nice reception for them. And then after they returned, when there was Navadvip Parikrama at Champahati, there was a large camp of the Gaudiya Mutt devotees, thousands of people, maybe, I don't know, 5,000 people. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur addressed that assembly. And he spoke to them about his desire that Krishna consciousness should be spread outside of India in the Western countries. And at that time, as usual, you know, all the sannyasis, the leaders, were sitting in the front. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was, you know, gazing out and looking forward. And he said that he was so anxious for this to happen that he was ready to spend the lifeblood of the Gaudiya Mutt, with all the financial resources of the Gaudiya Mutt, to support this effort. But somehow it had not yet happened. And then he turned to his side, like away from the majority of the audience, And this story is related by the pujari of that temple, a very, very nice devotee. He passed away a few years ago, but we always used to meet him on Navadvipa Parikrama. He's a very, very sweet, humble, pure devotee. So, as he describes it, he was standing off to the side, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati looked to the side, like almost as if he was looking at, right at him. And he said, "But I predict that one day someone will cross the ocean and deliver Krishna consciousness, and he will bring back the whole world." And that pujari was like, he knew it couldn't be speaking to him, and he turned to his side and he saw Abhay Charanarvinda Das, Srila Prabhupada. And he could feel there was like a very special connection. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was like looking right at him, like looking into his eyes. And then he turned and, you know, faced the audience and continued his talk. So, without Srila Prabhupada's having picked up this mood from his Guru Maharaj, where would we be? The devotee is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place, just so that one may show that he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish material activity. So there are different accounts of devotees who have associated with different types of saintly persons in India. We find very vivid descriptions in the book The Journey Home by His Holiness Radhanath Swami. And there are basically two categories. Those who are interested in their own liberation, vimukti kama, those are the better ones. And then the cheaters who assume the guise of saintly persons, and they may even have mystic powers, but they are interested in exploiting their followers and admirers. And sometimes they even use their powers to control people who aren't even their followers or admirers. There can be some very dark people dressed as saintly persons. We see them at the Kumbh Mela, all different types. But Srila Prabhupada stands apart from all of them. A Vaishnav like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness, because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Nanyam Twadasya Sharanam Brahmato Nupashye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. So this is the conviction, this is the realization of the pure devotee. Once Srila Prabhupada was riding on the train in India, looking out the window, and then he said, you know, I've seen everything there is to see of this material world, and there's no happiness here. Better just leave it all and take sannyas. And generally, the conditioned soul's aversion to Krishna and envy of Krishna is so strong that the last thing they'll do is take to Krishna consciousness. They'll try everything else they possibly can. And only when everything else fails, which it is bound to happen, which is bound to happen, everything else is bound to fail, then they take to Krishna consciousness. But devotees, whether they've experienced it in this life or previous lives, or whether they've just come into the material world from the spiritual world and by their spiritual perception just understand that you cannot be happy by any other means. But they have that conviction and realization. And therefore they work in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. They work for the benefit of others. And we are in Kali Yuga, deep in Kali Yuga now. And to spread Krishna consciousness is not easy. It's very difficult, as a matter of fact. I remember when I first joined hearing Srila Prabhupada say that as difficult as it was to meditate for 60,000 years in Sattva Yuga, that is how hard it is to spread Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga. And when I heard that, I was encouraged in a way that we get so much benefit, but I didn't realize what it meant until later. But it is very difficult. But in spite of all difficulties, devotees persevere. As you know, Srila Prabhupada had two heart attacks at sea on the way to New York, and he thought if he had a third, he would not survive. And then in New York, he faced so many difficulties, which you can read about in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Now there's a wonderful new book by Mukunda Goswami called Miracle on Second Avenue, which hasn't come yet to America, but it is out in India. A devotee brought me a copy. He had health problems and just so many problems. And he dealt with really strange people. Anyway, I can't even begin to describe it. One very nice devotee in Bombay, Krishna Chandra Das, Rishikesh Mafatlal, said that he felt every devotee should see the videos of Srila Prabhupada in 1965, 1966, 1967. Because without seeing those videos, you cannot imagine, I mean, a person in India cannot imagine the type of people that Srila Prabhupada was dealing with. You just cannot imagine it. Mukunda Maharaj tells one story of when Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco in Haight-Ashbury, which was the center of the hippie movement. So they had two friends that had a shop called the Psychedelic Shop. And the two of them were supporters of the young movement. And every Saturday, they would have there was a section of the shop that was curtained off, and they had some sort of meditation there. And they kept inviting Srila Prabhupada, they kept appealing to Mukunda Maharaj to bring Srila Prabhupada. And he kept refusing because he didn't want to subject Srila Prabhupada to that atmosphere. I mean, it was not a fit place. But somehow, in the end, after many weeks had passed, Mukunda Maharaj brought it up to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said he would go. So they were walking through the streets of Haight-Ashbury, and it was like a zoo or a carnival, just people in all sorts of dress, or lack of dress, and hair and costumes and smoking marijuana, just intoxicated on it, high on so many different types of drugs. And it was a very different type of scene, and Mukunda Maharaj was very concerned about Srila Prabhupada having to walk through that situation. And he was like in so much anxiety, he felt he had to say something, you know, to sort of, to relieve his anxiety. So he was trying to think of something positive to say. And finally he said to Srila Prabhupada, "It's a beautiful night." And Prabhupada looked at him and smiled and said, "Everything is beautiful." You know, Mukunda Maharaj felt that it was, yes, Srila Prabhupada was being gracious, but it was more than just that he was being gracious. He actually saw that everything was connected with Krishna, and therefore it was beautiful. So they got to the psychedelic shop. And after walking through the showroom with different pipes and beads and whatnot, Srila Prabhupada went behind the curtain to the meditation area. And there were about 7 people there. The room was filled with the stench of dirty, sweaty bodies and marijuana and alcohol. And of the 7 people or so, 2 were stretched out on the floor asleep. There was a boy and a girl sort of together in a corner, hugging. And the others were, I guess, trying to do some type of meditation, but they didn't seem to be very alert or awake. And when Mukunda Maharaj entered the area with Srila Prabhupada, he thought, you know, maybe we'll just do a few minutes of kirtan and leave. But no. Srila Prabhupada stayed and gave a whole discourse as if he would have done that. And gradually, a few more people came in, and there was kirtan, and they joined the chanting and dancing, but still in different states of altered consciousness. And then the program ended, and Mukunda Maharaj was walking with Srila Prabhupada back. The same thing. He's like very nervous about what Prabhupada really thought about the whole thing, and how, you know, just how he felt. And when they got back to the storefront at 518 Frederick Street, and in that same building, it's a big building, upstairs there was an apartment for Srila Prabhupada. So when they got there to the door, Srila Prabhupada turned to Mukunda Maharaj and said, "Thank you for the beautiful evening." So, inconceivable. One wanders within the universe, life after life. But by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness, and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home back to Godhead. This is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, where one will only make a show of meditation. Nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Now, this is an interesting point. Nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Sometimes now devotees do open yoga centers in cities. But they may do so as a front to attract people who are interested in yoga, so that ultimately they can give them the real thing, which is Krishna consciousness. But if they don't give them the real thing, which I'm sure they do, but if they don't give them the real thing, then what is the use? I mean, it may be a way of earning a living. That's also not a bad thing. We do have to have some livelihood, so that, all right, it can teach yoga as a way of making a living. But that is not really our mission as devotees, as followers of Srila Prabhupada. Our mission is to give people pure Krishna consciousness. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, where one will only make a show of meditation. I mean, there are genuine yogis in the Himalayas and the forest, as we read from Radhanaswami's book and other accounts. But as Srila Prabhupada said, many of them are hundreds of years old. And he said, you can't tell by looking at them who they are or how old they are. Some of them are hundreds of years old. So they are genuine, but they began in a different age, you know, in a different culture. And India's changed so much just in the last few decades, and the world has changed so much in the last few decades, that pretty much for any one of us to try to follow that path or that type of process, it would end up just being a show, because we don't have that background, we don't have that culture. And even those sort of isolated places where Radhanaswami went and met different yogis and sadhus, they're also getting populated, overpopulated, and commercialized. Even Vrindavan, to speak of other places. So, but yes, there could be rare cases, exceptional cases. Nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. And they do it literally. You know, Vaisheshika Prabhu in San Jose and the devotees there, they literally go door to door and present the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita as it is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna one cannot be happy. And this is really the core of it. We have to be convinced. If we're not convinced, how will we convince others? And that conviction comes from realization. Yes, on the negative side, there's realization of the futility of trying to be happy in the material world. But on the positive side, there should be realization of the bliss of Krishna consciousness. And that comes, you know, from good practices, from association with more advanced devotees, and from festivals. Otherwise, it can be tainted. I mean, we do it as a matter of duty, but it can be tainted. But even then, it's so purifying. That act is so purifying if we're sincere, that we will have to improve. Because when we meet people and present Krishna consciousness to them, if we're genuine about it, we will confront our own weaknesses in knowledge, weaknesses in conviction, weaknesses in our own spiritual practices, and we will feel impelled to improve. And that is important. In one talk in Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada said that preaching is the best way to become Krishna conscious, because when you preach to someone, they will ask questions. And how will you get the answer? The only way you'll get the answer is by surrendering to Krishna and praying for the mercy of Krishna to get the answer, to speak in the best way for the particular person. So that type of challenge, and book distributors, the same thing. They have that realization that get up early in the morning, chant 16 good rounds, you know, even beginning the night before, don't overeat, don't, you know, stay up late wasting time talking and whatever. And but ultimately we depend on Krishna, we depend on our gurus. And think of my dear friend Badahari Das Prabhu, how we discussed kirtan when we were together at a japa retreat in Delphi, Georgia, with His Holiness Satchinandan Swami, discussing kirtan. And kirtan is, in my talk with him, I understood that kirtan is very much the same as speaking, in that you just have to surrender and depend on Krishna, on our parampara, Srila Prabhupada. It's not you who's doing it. They are doing it. And you are just the instrument, trying to be the instrument, trying not to get in the way of their mercy. And that one particular night, it happens quite often after the 64-round day and Manavrat, the kirtan is really ecstatic that evening. So Bhatta Hari Das was leading the kirtan. It's like really ecstatic. Devotees are just dancing wildly in the temple room. And I also felt I wished it had gone on longer. But he was very dutiful. He was sticking to the schedule. Satchinandan Swami, on the other hand, is more liberal. He'll say, well, this is level 2. You all are very advanced devotees. We don't have to worry about things like schedules so much with devotees like you. But Bhatta Hari Das was very dutiful. He ended the kirtan on time, although devotees wanted more. But he was saying he's not the one who's doing it. He just tries to surrender to the holy name and to Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas, and they do it all. And sometimes his eyes are closed. He's just playing the harmonium and singing, and sometimes he'll like open his eyes and see like everyone is dancing. He didn't have any idea whether they were dancing or not. And then afterwards, devotees may say, oh, that was great, can you do that again? And I don't know if he says it or not, but he thinks, I didn't do it the first time, so how can I do it again? I'm not the one who did it. So that's how we go on. The desire to serve, not to get in the way of the mercy that our worthy predecessors have bestowed upon us, and out of gratitude to them for what they have done for us, you know, considering what would have been our position if they hadn't extended their mercy to us, we want that same mercy to be extended to others. And we can be the instrument, try to be the instrument, not that independently we're anything, but just try to be the vehicle by which their mercy is extended to others. Hare Krishna. So maybe we who's our authority here? Okay, we got our answer. We got our answer. Nityananda Prabhu said the class can end about 9 o'clock, and it is about 9 o'clock. So we got our answer. We will end now. We will continue our chanting and hearing and remembering and serving Krishna. And then we will meet again very shortly for the most auspicious occasion of His Holiness Indradumya Swami Maharaj's Vyasa Puja. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai.